Welcome back into a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about today's show. I should say today's experience. It is fantastic. And we are joined by an incredible artist to speak to us about it, the actor Derek Wilson. We're talking about Knock and Gate's presentation of The Tempest, which is available now through March 16th. So you'll have to hurry to catch it. And it's online. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting knockatthegate.com. So with that, let us welcome on our incredible guest today. Derek, welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here. I'm excited about this production. This is incredible. This is such an amazing experience. I can't wait for you to share it with our listeners. So why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about what this Tempest is about and is.
Well, it's an audio experience. They recommend, the creators recommend that you listen to it with headphones in the dark. So really you're surrounded by the performance. I guess depending on what kind of headphones you have, it may change. But so it's The Tempest. It's Shakespeare's The Tempest. But we tell it, I mean, you'll get an idea if you start listening to it. The first scene in The Tempest is a shipwreck. So you'll get, right off the bat, you get an idea of what you're in for, because it's a full-on sort of auditory assault. You hear the water, you hear people screaming, you hear the ship breaking and cracking, and you go underwater and you hear screaming from underwater, and you hear, you know, fire, and it's really incredible. And so we have 90 minutes, I think just over 90 minutes, the whole show is of that. So it's all Shakespeare's language, except for a few times when we've, just to make it clearer for the audio experience, we've added a name here and there. But it's all Shakespeare's language, plus the sounds of the island and the wind and costumes rubbing. And, you know, it's really that's why they call it an experience. It's not just like a play on tape or an audio play.
I love that. Oh, that sounds amazing. As I was mentioning before we started, I look forward later today to taking this in, sitting in the dark, as recommended, in my recliner with my headphones on and just being taken away by this incredible show. So this is amazing. So how did you come upon this piece?
I have known the director, Joe Disher, for over 20 years. We worked together at a regional theater in New Jersey, the Shakespeare Theater in New Jersey, since 2003, so over 20 years. And when the pandemic happened, he and the producer and actor Sean Hudock came up with the idea of doing Macbeth as an audio experience. So we did that, learned a lot about how to do it, and then we did Julius Caesar, and then now we're on to The Tempest. And yeah, I don't think I have any say. I may have said Tempest would be cool, and then they did it, but they choose what to do. and so I've done all three of them so far, and that's how I came about it.
Oh, wonderful. So this current production of The Tempest, as you had mentioned previously when we talked, you know, it's kind of a pandemic kind of thing, that kind of came out of the pandemic, if I'm speaking correctly. What has it been like developing it?
It's a really interesting process, because we still, even though we could meet all in a room and put this together, we developed a way to do it during the pandemic. So we're each in our own homes and we have our own equipment. And what it allows for us to do now is, if myself or one of the other actors is off doing a show somewhere or shooting something somewhere, we can still come back and do our part in this. We don't have to like say, oh, I can't do this show. I mean, we could, but you know, it still leaves you available to do this, to even if you're off doing something else. So it's really, you know, you do your own work, you do your own sort of text prep, and then you come in and we rehearse a scene that we're going to, it's, you really like put it together like a film. So we know that night we're going to do act 2, scene 2, whatever. And So you sort of do your work on that. You come in, we rehearse it a couple times, and then we record it a couple times. And so it very much is like doing a TV show or a film, except it's just, our voice. It's an interesting process, and it's actually quite fun to do. It's frustrating too, because technically, the Wi-Fi doesn't work, and you feel like you got a great take, and then your internet went out for a second. So I'm sure you deal with that with the podcast, but
Oh yes.
yeah,
Oh yes. Truer words
very.
never been spoken.
Yeah. And I give a pretty spirited, energetic performance in this. So like it could be frustrating when, you've just exhausted everything and oh, we need to get that again because your internet had too many blips or whatever. It's like, no. But that's the nature of the beast.
That still sounds incredible. Like, what a experience to have.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the internet going out, but to put it together,
Yeah, and I do a sort of voice for the I play Caliban, so I developed this voice and I experimented with different things. At first, I put these makeup sponges in my cheeks to sort of affect the way I spoke, and it just sounded like I had makeup sponges in my cheeks. So I developed another thing to do, and I was embarrassed, actually too embarrassed to do it on camera, so I'd always turn my camera off to do the voice. I didn't want anyone to see me doing it. So it gives you a bit of privacy too, and there's freedom in that. You sort of just go for it. But it can be ridiculous because I remember when we did the Scottish play, when we did Macbeth, you're learning things like when you're moving, there was a scene where we wanted the idea that Macbeth, I was playing Macbeth, and Banquo were riding horses. So how does that affect your voice? So we're literally sitting there like doing this as we're, just sort of bouncing up and down. And it can be effective, but it feels ridiculous, But such is the way it is on camera sometimes. You're doing literally something just like that out of frame, and the audience would never have any idea.
Wonderful though. I love the lengths that you all have gone to create this real world. This is wonderful.
And we
So
learned with each one, we learn more and more. Oh, it would help out if I actually, if the idea is I'm sitting on this line, then I'll say my line and just sort of do that. And it actually, it gives you this image of movement and sitting and walking and, it's really fascinating. We've learned a lot and we're still learning.
that's amazing. So, is there a message or thought you hope that listeners will take away from this piece, this experience?
Well, the feedback that we've gotten so far has been so great because people have consistently commented on how accessible it is and how easy it is to follow and understand. And, I remember when I first started getting into Shakespeare, I was really intimidated and frustrated because I couldn't, I was upset that I wasn't just getting it immediately. And the thing that I think is really great about this is it really allows you to just sit back in the dark and allow it to hit you, wash over you, and it just becomes a part of you. And I think for that reason, we really hope that younger audiences are attracted to it and get into it. We love it to be. We love our these things to start becoming part of maybe curriculums in schools. I think that would be amazing because again, it is so accessible. I remember listening when I was in high school before I was ever into any of this kind of stuff, listening to some production of Macbeth actually, and it clicked for the first time. Of course, that's a much simpler play, but there's it's still like I started to understand it for the first time, and I got a little bit excited about it. I would love to be a part of that for somebody, younger people.
Yes, that is wonderful. Well, my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to The Tempest?
Well, again, I think it would be really wonderful if we could. I think they're working on this, the producer, Sean and Joe. But I would love for students to have access to this. I mean, I want everyone to have access to this. It should be most people have access to the internet, and if they don't, you know, within schools or libraries or something, I would hope that it's available. But yeah, everyone, but especially I would love younger people, students, high school, middle school students to get to experience this.
The second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests just a little bit better. Pick your brain, if you will. And I would love to start with our perennial question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, I mean, I start when I started, I didn't really start acting. I acted some in college and undergrad. But I didn't really start acting until my mid-20s, and I just started reading Shakespeare like crazy. I carried around a complete works in New York with me everywhere I went, and really dorky stuff. But I ended up doing a lot of Shakespeare, and that taught me a lot about acting. One of the most inspiring pieces of theater I ever saw was the... It was right after I moved, had just moved to New York, and it was the very first production of, once it moved to Broadway, of Top Dog Underdog, Susan Laurie Parks. And it was with Mos Def and Jeffrey Wright. And for whatever reason, the tickets were at TKTS. So I got to see, I saw it twice, and it was relatively inexpensive. But the second or the first night I saw it, I was by myself. And it was storming outside, and I forgot what theater it was in, but you could hear it storming outside during the show. And that play, you know, takes place in a one room sort of dilapidated apartment or house, and it's just the two characters, and the ceiling of the theater started to leak onto the stage, which just added to this set. I'm sure people were freaking out, you know, stage manager was probably freaking out, but for me, it was incredible. And Jeffrey Wright made his first entrance and came in through the door up center, and the water hit him on the head. And I remember he just looked up at it, and this is kind of gross, but also awesome. He just opened his mouth and let the water fall in and just sort of did that. And then went on with the play. And then I went to see it again, and obviously I knew that was probably not a part of the play, and it wasn't, but I got to see this one-of-a-kind experience, which you do anytime you see a play, but this one was really special, and it was so inspiring to me as a young actor, and taught me so much about taking whatever you're given and working with it, you know, within reason. Which he certainly did, and it's one of my favorite performances, not just that moment, but just his work in that. I just, his rhythm, everything about it was just awesome. So that's mine.
That is amazing. Wow. What an incredible night at the theater. That would have been amazing to see. Well, I would love to know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I like the boldness of it. I like the daring of it. It's not life or death. It's really not that risky, but you can feel when you're squarely on the tightrope and the audience is with you. And, you know, I've heard things like, I've heard people say that the pressure of doing a play is equal to that of a brain surgeon, which I think is sort of ridiculous. It's not life or death, but it's exciting. And I love being a storyteller, and I love, you know, it's an interpretive art, what I do. I haven't ever really finished writing anything. So everything I've ever done has been from a play or a script. And I love that too. I love the text work. I love rehearsal. I love breaking it down and living with another actor, and taking what they're giving and giving it back and trying to make them as good as possible. And I mean, I love everything about it. I just did a play. I hadn't done a play in a while. I hadn't done a play in 7 years, and I did one this past summer, actually at the Shakespeare Theater in New Jersey. You know, I was scared going into it because it had been so long, and I wasn't sure. I'd only done camera work for 7 years, and so I wasn't sure if I could still do it. Like, you know, what if I go through rehearsal and I feel great, and then the audience is there, and then I just kept reminding myself that it's not life or death. It's I have everything I need, and everyone I need right there on stage, and it was a great experience.
That is so fabulous to hear. What a wonderful answer. And a great lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, I love it when things go wrong. Especially, well, it depends. If it goes wrong and you're watching and you feel like the actors are comfortable and want to go with it, that's really thrilling. If it really throws them, then I just get anxious. I'm an anxious person anyway, but I just get anxious and terrified for them. I remember doing Henry IV Part One, actually, and Joe Discher directed it, who directed The Tempest. And the act I was playing Hal, and the actor that played Falstaff, this actor John Alleyne, he was so wonderful, and he and I got very close. But he had played Falstaff in every iteration for many years in Merry Wives and all the Henrys, so he would sometimes go into a speech from one of the other plays. It's just he and I on stage sometimes, and get a little bit lost. And of course, Hal and Falstaff's relationship, it's all there's so much about Hal enjoying watching Falstaff get lost in his own narrative and watching him get out of it and or try to get out of it. And so the trust between us was so great, at least from my side. Maybe John would tell a different story. But he would look at me with a little bit of not panic in his eyes, but like, oh, shit, I'm lost. And instead of really just helping him out, I would just kind of lean in and watch him. And he would always give me this look like, oh, you little son. And then he always would. If it was really bad, I would always help him. But I loved that chemistry. It's just one of those times where I felt a chemistry with an actor where there was so much trust that I didn't feel like I had to save the situation. We would get out of it no matter what because he was brilliant. And I really enjoyed that. It never got too bad though, but it was fun. And it was a part of their relationship anyway, so it worked.
I love that. I'm just like sitting here imagining that and watching you just like lean over and like, go on. Yeah. But that is a fabulous memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Do you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
You can see me in a couple of, there's no theater, so I guess that's pointless. So yeah, I don't have any theater, but well, I'll be in The Boys on Amazon this season, and I was in Gen V, which is their spin-off. So those two things are, I think The Boys is coming out sometime this spring. But I've got a couple episodes on that. That's the next thing I've got coming up. So that's it.
Very cool. We will have to tune in and check that out. That's amazing. And a great lead in to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Knock at the Gates presentation of The Tempest or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, Knock at the Gate, of course, there's just knockatthegate.com, the website. And on Instagram, Knock at the Gate. And I'm on Instagram. I'm not as active as I used to be, but I do use it for just like promotional stuff sometimes now. So, or something about my dog occasionally. And it's just underscore Derek Wilson. That's my Instagram handle. DereKWILSON.
Wonderful. Well, Derek, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and speak with us today about this incredible experience and just sharing everything that you did. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Andrew. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. My guest today has been the incredible actor, Derek Wilson, who is part of Knock at the Gate presentation of The Tempest. It's playing now through March 16th, and it's online, so you can get your tickets and more information by visiting knockatthegate.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But join us for this incredible experience. You are not going to want to miss it. It's phenomenal. It's about 90 minutes. It's perfect for anyone who's just looking to escape. It's The Tempest, playing now through March 16th online. Again, visit knockatthegate.com. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.